Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Big game on Saturday. University of Miami holding on to beat Central Michigan. A game that a lot of people, and I mean a lot of people, felt would be over by halftime, but it wasn't. This game went all four quarters unexpectedly, and a lot of fans were not happy. Certainly, you heard Manny Diaz talking a little bit earlier this evening on Hurricane Hotline with DBJ and Joe Z, and conveyed what he thought as well. But some of the reporters talked about what they felt was going on, and certainly in a game that should have been a runaway and not something that came down to a nail biter in the final seconds. Dave Ferones, who covers the University of Miami Hurricanes, his first year covering the Canes for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, has been a longtime Hurricane follower, does a lot of recruiting and everything. He is kind enough to join us this evening. David, thanks so much for taking the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Barry.
That's all good. You can call me anything you want. Call me anything. Hey. David, when you look at the game this Saturday, I mean, obviously you, as somebody who's covered this team all season long, came into it and felt that, you look at what Central Michigan brought to the table, you saw what Miami did to Bethune-Cookman, what they did against the University of Florida, Power 5 school, and also up at North Carolina. You figured that this would kind of be one of those ho-hum games, go through the motions, but it was everything but. Were you a little bit surprised by what transpired and how the offense just never got in the flow of the game?
Yeah, I was. I mean, it was a discouraging performance, that's for sure. Offensive line just couldn't get a push up front. They couldn't run the ball. You saw a kind of a regression for that group up front blocking, where Jaren Williams was under a lot of pressure and sometimes still holding on to the ball, making some decisions that were questionable, but not being able to convert on third down, not being able to sustain drives because of that, allowing Central Michigan drives to continue, whether it be because of a penalty or giving up a third down of their own. They'd end up getting a big turnover once Central Michigan got into plus territory, but, and it wouldn't turn into points on the board, but it was kind of just defense not getting off the field in the first half. And then once they kept the game close and they saw Central Michigan really make it interesting. I wasn't expected in a game where they were favored by 29.5 points.
You look at Central Michigan, came in here, had nothing to lose, and Coach McElwain's been in situations before. I mean, he had them just utterly sky-high to play the game. They had an answer for everybody. And the thing that surprised, and you had mentioned it, the offensive line, which this was the worst graded-out game that they've had of all four games. I mean, you're talking about a Florida defensive line who everybody regards as one of the best. You've seen what they did to Tennessee. A North Carolina game up there at a hostile environment, and they graded out so well. Corey Gaynor played extremely well in those first couple of games. Then they went through the Bethune-Cookman game and did what they had to do, made plays. But this game, for some reason, and whether it's a scheme or not, David, it makes no difference. Miami should have come in there just like Wisconsin did, assert that offensive line. You have a quarterback that you trust. You have a running game that can run. And you have wide receivers that can make plays. You come out of there with just 17 points, but not just that, the penalties. And that has to drive anybody crazy. I'm sure that was addressed by Manny Diaz. Talk about that. Not so much the underperforming, because, you get flat against teams. I mean, you look at Georgia State and Tennessee and schools, but how you underperform at a position that you have thought you have made so many advances at.
Right. The offensive line thought that was up behind them after that sack game where Florida was able to sack Jaren Williams 10 times. But, penalties, and Manny just talked about it, that he can understand some of the penalties, like he mentioned the one on the offensive line, Corey Gaynor holding someone where it was questionable and he was, you know, just putting a lot of effort into a play.
Right.
He can live with those kind of penalties. But then it's the penalties when it's a senior that's jumping offside or committing a personal foul, and then forcing goal, and you know, it extends to a brand new set of downs because of the defensive holding down there. Those are the ones that just kill you, and that's why Central Michigan ended up running 20 more plays than the University of Miami in that game. And you know, time of possession in the first half was completely in their favor. All the reasons why this game just remained close, and one couldn't really ever just take that lead, and then kind of what Jaron Williamson was, you know, put your foot on their throat. They never got to that point because it was just close the whole way.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, in the fourth quarter, instead of playing a game where you're getting your backups in and getting them some experience, which you would have loved to do in this game, now you got to play to just make sure you come out of there with a win. So, fortunately, they did do that, but it came down to the final possession.
Yeah, no doubt. David Ferronis joining us, South Florida Sun Sentinel. He covers the University of Miami. So we looked at the negatives. Let's look at the positives. This defense has been lights out all year. I mean, you know, they make plays up front. They control. A linebacker play is really strong, and the secondary comes up with huge plays as well. Let's talk about the defense. I mean, this is a defense that shows. I mean, it played Florida heads up. It's played everybody, you know, this year so far, and it didn't disappoint the other day. They held when they had to. Came up with big plays. I mean, they were on the field basically the entire game. Talk about this defense. I mean, this defense has some young kids, but at the same time, you have veterans. Moving forward, Virginia Tech game coming up, which always presents a problem no matter when it is. And now it'll be more magnified because of the fact that everyone's going, well, listen, you didn't play Central Michigan very well. Now you have Virginia Tech, who's a, you know, not only a Power 5 team, but a Coastal Division foe. And then you follow that up the following Friday night with a Virginia. What does this defense need to do, if anything else? I mean, they've done an extremely good job. They caused turnovers. What do you think about the defense so far?
Yeah, and going into that Central Michigan game, the sack numbers were kind of down. What they were doing on defense was holding opponents on third down. They were only giving up 20% of them before that game on Saturday. And, you know, turnovers, they only had one in the two games ahead of that, the Phil Kirkman and North Carolina. But then you saw kind of those things start to flourish again when they needed to, you know, after giving up several downs in one drive. You have either the Greg Rousseau strip sack or John Garvin comes through and just absolutely demolishes the Central Michigan quarterback. So Pat Bethel goes and picks up a fumble. Al Blades Jr. had the interception seal it at the end. So getting back to putting on that turnover chain and forcing some turnovers, you saw that. You saw them get into the backfield, get penetration, and get to the quarterback, which we had seen them slow down a little bit in that area. They stopped the run well the entire time, which was a big question mark. You know, with Gerald Willis leaving the program, moving on, Joe Jackson going to the NFL, we saw him with the Cowboys playing against the Dolphins just on Sunday. So up front, you know, able to still stop the run. Despite that, you have those linebackers back, and in the secondary, the only returning starter, of course, is Trajan Bandy, but you know, between the other corner, having DJ Ivy and Al Blades Jr. back there, and the station, Irvin Hall, sophomore, Amari Carter, Robert Knowles, who has kind of stepped it up a little bit after, you know, a rough first 4 years. You know, Robert Knowles out of Edison High, he's kind of gotten it going. As a fifth-year senior, you got to see him win the turnover chain 2 weeks ago against Bethune, so good to see that for him.
Kicking game kind of still an adventure. Lewis Headley's added, though. I mean, a lot better than what we had last year in that position. But kicking-wise, Bubba Bax is still an erratic guy. You don't know what you're going to get from week to week. And these games coming up are certainly going to spotlight him because they're going to need field position to be in their favor. They're going to need that field goal to win a game or to, you know, to give them momentum. Is there still confidence in this kicking game, or is it just day by day?
Boy, and that's a good question because I kind of saw when Manny Hughes went for a 4th-and-3 on, I think it was like the 23-yard, it would have, 23 because it would have been a 40-yard field goal attempt. He opted to go for it. And, you know, maybe 4th-and-1, you see that, but, you know, 4th-and-3, it ended up being an incomplete pass, and then they turned it over on downs. But, yeah, he didn't go to Bubba Baxter that first chance he had, and it would have been a 40-yard attempt. And then later on, you know, he had a short one that he made only after there was a running to the kicker penalty because he actually missed the initial one. So 5 of 9 now on the season because of that. It would have been 4 of 9 had the other one not counted. But I found it interesting that man, he didn't go for the field goal after that first time. Maybe showed is the confidence lacking. And, you know, for Bubba Baxter's sake, you know, you just hope that one of these games coming up in the ACC, that if he makes a big kick, and whether it be a game-winning field goal or just early on, just hits a long one, something that could just get his confidence going and then carry it forward and just get whatever, whether it's mental, whether it's if it's something with his mechanics, then he has 2 weeks right now to fix it. So whatever it is, just you need something to kind of fix this off and keep going.
No doubt. David Ferronis from the South Florida Sun Sentinel does it as well as anybody, knows the game, knows sports, and definitely knows the Hurricanes. Check him out, especially during this off week. There's going to be a lot of drama going on, a lot of hard work down in Coral Gables. David, thanks so much for taking the time. We'll check in with you soon.
Sounds good. Thank you for not botching my name, after all.
I would never do that. Take care, buddy. Yeah. Thanks so much.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.